Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity in a free country to gather and worship you openly. We thank you that you promise where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're right here in the midst with us. We ask now that you would continue to focus us on you, that we would love you and love each other. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty, thank you guys. You take your Bibles this morning and join me in the book of Romans and chapter 12. I'll say that again, book of Romans and chapter number 12. Have you ever started a diet? Now, I know that's not a great way to begin a message. I don't want to discourage you, but have you ever been on a diet? Go ahead, sigh. You can sigh. Maybe some of you are on a diet right now. You don't have to tell us. That's okay. But you know this, there are a number of diets out there, right? There's those fad diets. Now, I didn't say fat diets. That's what I'm on. I'm on a fat diet. No, fad diets of all sorts, right? There are medical diets, you know. In fact, if you watch any TV and see a commercial, right, there's all of these now, you know, medical drugs that they're for one thing, but help you lose weight. There's fasting diets, you know. There's water fast diets. And so there's expensive diets, right? You know, but the best diet is a lifestyle change, right? Now, this is not a message on eating healthy. Don't get nervous. And this is not a message on diets. I'm not promoting anyone or anything. But they say, and I believe, I agree, the healthiest diet is a lifestyle change. Healthy eating and exercise. Are you with me? Healthy eating and exercise needs to become a lifestyle, right? A daily habit, a daily practice. In fact, we call it this. Listen, a way of life. It's a way of life. And so I said all that to say this. Such is true with our Christian faith. Our Christian faith needs to become a lifestyle, a way of life, right? And a daily discipline, a daily habit, a daily exercise. And so over the next several weeks, and I'm not sure how many weeks it'll be, but it'll be for a while, we're going to take a look at what everyday Christianity looks like. What does that look like? We talk about it being, you know, a lifestyle, a way of life. What does that actually look like? And so we're going to begin today a study, and I've been promoting it for the last couple of weeks, a study on everyday Christianity. We'll take our time with it. And we're going to see how our faith should impact our everyday life in every arena, whether it's home or church. You know, sometimes we are not very Christian when we're at church. You know, some churches have nothing but squabbles and drama and nonsense going on. Now, I will tell you this. That doesn't happen at Open Bible. We just pick you up, throw you right out the back door. We don't play around with that stuff. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to learn how to be more Christ-like. That's what it's all about. But that's what we're going to begin a study on today. And it'll last for a while. We're going to try to cover everything. The Christian and work and the Christian at play. The Christian in his neighborhood. You know, a Christian in his money and time and talents and so on. But I want to begin here this morning in Romans chapter number 12. Would you join me? In just two verses. Look at verse number 1. This is the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to the church in Rome. Not the Roman Catholic Church, but the church at Rome. That group of individual, born again, blood washed, heaven bound believers. They gathered together. And they made up the church, a community of believers. And here's what Paul writes them. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, say with me, reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Will of God. Now, that's a powerful passage of just two verses. But there's a number of truths in that passage, those two verses, that I want to see us unpack. And form, develop, establish a foundation that we'll build upon over the next several weeks of our study. I want to kind of capsulize for you what our study is going to look like. Well, what are we talking about when we speak about everyday Christianity? Let me give you this, and you'll see this over and over throughout our study. Let me give you this core thought. Go ahead and flip it, if you would. Look at this core thought. Christianity is not merely a belief to embrace. It is a life to be lived every day. Now, let that soak in for a moment. Take that in for a moment. I'm not against you opening up your phone right now and taking a picture of that so you don't forget it. Make it a screensaver. Make it a mental picture. I want you to say it with me. You ready? Let's say it together. Christianity is not... you're mumbling. Let's say it with confidence. You ready? Christianity is not... is a life to be lived every day. You with me? That's what our Christian faith teaches. Right? We have beliefs that we embrace. It's a belief system, beginning with salvation. But it doesn't end there. It's a belief system, and the Bible reveals our belief system. And so as we embrace, now pay attention right here, as we embrace these beliefs, we are then to emulate or live out these beliefs each day of our lives. Not in perfection because we're imperfect people, but the best we can. Because He deserves nothing less. Don't you agree? Do you see how slow and methodical I am being this morning? My aim is not to put you to sleep, but to show you how important this is. And we'll pick up some muster as we get moving. But I don't want you to miss the beginning portions of this series, because this is vital, right? This world needs to see Christianity. They hear a lot of, they need to see it. This week, we'll be able to put our faith in a visible way out in our community. National Night Out. We're going to show up at two different parks in the community. And we're going to live out our faith. You know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we'll have Vacation Bible School and Kid Fest. We're going to bring people onto our community, from our community onto our property, and live out our faith. We're going to allow them to see the difference Christ has made in us. We're going to show them our Christianity. We're going to show them our faith. We're going to practice that, right? But it's not just this week. It's an every day, every week, every month, every year experience, practice, exercise. Amen? Now, I want to begin where I left off last week. We closed up the message last week with a discussion about heaven. I'm not sure if you remember that or not. But I took some time at the end of the service to really talk about heaven and the importance of, now get this, the importance of knowing and understanding salvation. That's where it begins. If you're here today and you're just uncertain about your eternity, where you're going to spend your eternity, it's got to begin there. right? These principles I'll be teaching are for those who have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. It's for those who know Jesus in a personal way. It's for those who have a relationship with the Lord and not just religious activity. Amen. Right? That's where we left off last week. However, salvation is not just for eternity. It's for every day. Amen. Right? It's an everyday experience. Salvation. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, He makes such an impact that your life begins to change. I like the song, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Right? And we ought to be able to see that change for ourselves. We ought to convince ourselves that we're saved. Because if you can convince yourself you're saved, other people will then believe it too. And so... it's for today, salvation, not just for eternity, but for today. I heard someone say many, many years ago that we are living here on earth. The Christian life here on earth is just an education for heaven. We are learning down here how we're going to live up there. Someone said this is like a dress rehearsal, right? And it is. I believe it is. Because the Bible presents Christianity as a transformed way of living. Did you get that? It affects every thought, every decision, and every relationship. Has your Christian faith become a reality in your life where it does impact your thoughts, your decisions, and your relationships? Do you pause before you make a decision and say, "Now, Lord, is this what I should be doing?" Do you allow the Lord to work in you when you're in relationship conflict and before abandoning the relationship or, you know, trashing the relationship, saying, "Lord, is there something that I should be doing to salvage this relationship?" See, our Christian faith impacts every arena of life, or at least it should. That's Bible Christianity, and that's what everyday Christianity looks like. And so let me take a look at this text this morning so I don't run out of time, and I want to be able to give you the whole message. In chapter 12, that's where we read a moment ago, it's kind of a turning point in the letter, right? Now, give me just a little liberty, those of you who are scholars and theologians, because there's folks who are here who this is all new to them. And so sometimes they'll hear me say, "Open to the book of Romans," and I call it a letter. Well, when Paul wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this was not Paul saying, let me see how I can help these folks. No, this was God saying to Paul, "I need to help these folks. Write this down." That's inspiration. And Paul wrote not in book form, he wrote in letter form. He's writing a letter to these churches. And in this letter, Paul covers all kinds of things. Chapter 12 is a turning point in the letter. If you were to study through the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 11, Paul explains the great doctrine of salvation, the doctrines of salvation. Because when you study out salvation, man, I tell you what, it touches on all kinds of doctrine. It touches on grace and depravity and redemption and sanctification and glorification. And I mean, the doctrine of salvation is rich and deep. One day, maybe we'll do a study on the doctrine of salvation and how all these are justification and all a part of salvation. Well, chapter 1 through 11, Paul is speaking to the church about salvation, the doctrine of salvation. But then in chapter 12, he begins to explain how those doctrines impact a believer's life. Are you with me? Yeah. And I said this a moment ago, I'm going to say it again. What he's saying is this. What he's trying to convey, the truth he's trying to convey is this. Our belief system produces a lifestyle change or a lifestyle behavior. You heard me say this before. Our beliefs produce behavior. Our system of beliefs produces a lifestyle behavior, not a fad diet. It's not, "I need to lose 10 pounds real quick." It's not that, "I need to be good this week because somebody's watching." No, it's a lifestyle. Our belief system becomes a lifestyle where we no longer do certain things, but instead we do other things. Does that make sense? Am I too loud for you? Somebody said, get louder. I don't think being loud means it's more true. It just means I'm passionate about it, excited about it. And so the Christian life is not about, pay attention here, it's not about occasional religious activity. Say, what's religious activity? What we're doing right now. We showed up for church. Some taught Sunday school or connect class, small group. Some sang in the group, played instruments, ushering, and religious activity. We're serving the Lord. Well, but our Christianity is more than that. I love all of that. That's all important. But our Christianity is more than that. It's about, listen to this, it's about continual spiritual surrender. Amen. Huh? Get out your white flag right now. Hold it up in the air. Go ahead. Get it out. Get it out. Come on. Come on. Get your flag out. Hold it up in the air and just go like this. And I want you to say this. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. You have no idea what you're surrendering to right now. But I surrender. See, listen, a Christian, a genuine Christian, demonstrates his faith by living for Christ each day. Right? And the key, each day. So I want to begin our study, Everyday Christianity, by understanding this passage. So let me unpack it for us. All right? Are you with me? Let me unpack it. Listen carefully. Notice first that everyday Christianity begins with complete surrender. Everyday Christianity begins with complete surrender. Go back to Romans chapter 12 with me. Let's take it apart. Verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you. You see that word beseech? You know what Paul's doing here? He's pleading. He's not commanding. He doesn't have his finger pointed saying, I command you. No, Paul's pleading. In fact, he might get this picture. He's on his knees begging these believers in the city of Rome. I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you. I'm begging you, he says. And notice he says, I'm begging you, therefore. See the word therefore? That points back to everything that God has done. So you remember a moment ago, pay attention right here, because if you miss, I'm connecting dots, and by the time I get done here, it's really going to make sense. But I said a moment ago, chapters 1 through 11, Paul talks about the doctrines of salvation. In chapter 12, he makes a turn. I beg you, therefore. What's he saying? What he's saying is, I want you to look back upon everything that I just said, everything that he has done for you. Like what? Well, if you go through chapters 1 through 11, here's what you'll find. You'll find out, Paul says, that we're sinners. And yet, and Christ died for us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? Right? The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? He that believeth has everlasting life is what the Scriptures teach. So Paul is talking about the fact that we were sinners, Christ died, we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God, we've received grace. Nothing can separate us from His love. That's all in chapters 1 through 11. And so because of God's mercy, we willingly surrender. I beg you, therefore, he says. I want you to think about all that he has done for you. How merciful, how good, how kind he's been to you. And I want you then to consider surrendering. Did you get that? I need to go over it again. And then we have an explanation of what surrender in this verse looks like. Look what he says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what surrender looks like. He talks about presenting our bodies. And that means this. You place your entire life at God's disposal. Wow. Not just my Sundays, not just my talents, not just my income, Not just my plans. No, God wants all of it. He wants all of it. Remember the song we used to sing years ago? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a... He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. And He deserves nothing less but our all. And so Paul says here in this text, as far as surrender is concerned, present your bodies. And then he calls it a what? A living sacrifice. If you know anything about the Old Testament sacrifices, you know what they did? They put that whatever animal on the altar. They bound it with cords. And then they killed it. They drained its blood. Right? Had to be alive, but then they killed. Well, Paul says, no, you need to be a living sacrifice. You know what that means? Listen carefully. It means this. Every morning we choose again, Lord, today I belong to You. Amen. It's not a once and for all kind of a thing. No, it's every day. It's daily. Every day I wake up and I'm reminded of what He's done for me. I'm saved. I've been bought with a price. My sins are forgiven. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. And as a result, you know what I do? I belong to You. That's daily. Paul says, I beg you, based upon all that He's done for you, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Every day be reminded as to what He's done for you. You know what I believe every day? I believe every day I do because He permits. I have because He gives. I am because He allows. And every day of my life I wake up and thank Him. The very first thing I do, Mr. Smith, thank You for the gift of life. I'm alive again. I don't need a machine to allow me to breathe. My lungs are working. My mind is clear. I can praise You. And today I choose to. That's daily Christianity. That's what it looks like. It's daily surrender. And He says it's holy and acceptable. Not perfect. No, it's dependent upon God. It's dependent upon God. Each day we're aware of our need for God. And so each day we pray something like this. You listening? Here's what we pray each day. Lord, help me to be God-minded today. You ought to pray that for yourself. Lord, would You help me to be God-minded today? We pray this. Lord, help me to be drawn closer to You today. Huh? Draw me nearer, near. Did you ever sing that? Yeah, we need to be drawn nearer to Him. Help me to be God-minded. Help me to be close to You. By the way, closeness is determined by you, not Him. You and I, we are as close today as we choose to be. He remains the same. We pray something like this. Lord, help me to live as a kingdom dweller. We're citizens of another kingdom. Help me, Lord, to live according to those rules. That's my desire. And so I said this a moment ago, everyday Christian, what's it look like? Well, Paul lays the foundation. He says this, it begins with complete surrender. But then notice this. Paul says everyday Christianity rejects the world's pattern. Everyday Christianity rejects the world's pattern. Go back to that text of Scripture with me. Look what he says in verse number 2. He says, and be not, what's that word? Conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. That word conformed simply means to be pressed into a mold. To be pressed into a mold. Paul says, don't let this world press you into its mold, so to speak. You know, the world constantly pressures believers to think differently from God. Not differently about God, but differently from God. Right? The world says things. We hear things like this. You ready? Happiness comes through possessions. So you know what that means? You and I, we need to work, keep getting more and more and more and more. Because how much is enough? Well, Rockefeller said a little bit more. Just a little bit more. How much is it? Just a little bit more. Because you know this, the heart of man, the mind of man is never satisfied. Never satisfied. Do you ever do this? Did you ever buy a garment, a shirt, a blouse, a dress, a suit, or whatever, and it fits so good you would immediately want to go and buy another one? You're not satisfied with that one you just bought. It fits so good, it looks so good, it makes me look wonderful. I got to go get me a slew of them. Why? Because we're not satisfied. You let me hit a great shot on hole 18 after I've just blown 17 holes. I'm coming back next week for another one. Huh? Catch one fish, I want another fish. I'm letting you in on all my secret sin right now. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're not. The world whispers in our ear, happiness comes through possessions. Success comes through power. That's what we hear all the time. That's what our young people are hearing. Pleasure is life's greatest goal. Truth is relative. It's whatever you believe it to be. But God says something entirely different. Paul said this, and be not what? Conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into this world's mold. Don't listen to what they say. God says this, we're to resist worldly values. You know, Christians should influence culture, not be shaped by it. We ought to be influencing our culture, not allowing them to influence us. We're to resist worldly priorities. The world lives for today. We live for eternity. I like what it says about Abraham in the book of Hebrews. Man, he just kept seeking for a city whose builder was God. He was looking for his eternal city, where his citizenship was. We're to resist worldly compromise. We're called to be different. Jesus said this, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But listen, salt needs to remain salty. Huh? And I don't mean be salty. That's what you were thinking. By the way, that's old. That's old. No, we just need to remain that influence that he wants us to be. Are you with me? You heard this old saying, a ship belongs in the water. The water doesn't belong in the ship. So Christians live in the world without allowing the world to live in them. So what does Paul say? Look at it again. Be not conformed to this world. You with me? So Christianity is an everyday practice. It's a discipline. It's a habit. It's something where we're every day we're at it. We're staying at it. Do we mess up? Sure. But there's opportunity for forgiveness and get back on it. Get back at it. Right? So every day, what do? Man, we just wake up realizing I need him. So I surrender. I surrender all. Help me to live as a dead man. Help me not to be conformed to this world. Help me to reject this world's pattern of living. But then he says this. Let's read on. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is good, acceptable, and a perfect will of God. And so the third aspect here, everyday Christianity, go ahead and flip it, requires a renewed mind. Are you with me? I'm trying to be so methodical this morning and so practical. I want to lay this foundation because we're going to build on this, and I want you to get it. At the end of this series, I want us to be the best Christians we can possibly be, making an unbelievable difference in our world, beginning right in our community, beginning in our home, beginning here in our church. Renewed mind. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is the same word from which we get the word metamorphosis. How many of you know that word? Isn't it fun to say metamorphosis? Supercalifragilistic espialidocious. There's just some words fun to say. Metamorphosis. Say that 5 times. Your tongue will be slapping your cheek. Metamorphosis. But you know what that word describes? That word describes a complete change. Amen. Now get this. Paul says, don't be conformed. Don't be pressed into this world's thinking. Don't allow this world to influence you. No. You influence this world. And how you do that is by having a transformed mind, a changed mind. Right? You think about metamorphosis, you know, as a young person, you know, how do you illustrate that? You use the what? The butterfly. But before a butterfly becomes a butterfly is a caterpillar. Right? Think about it. Complete change. Did you ever think about that? Look here. A caterpillar crawls. A butterfly flies. That was new. What? Did you just found that out, didn't you? Huh? Think about it. A caterpillar is something some folks try to avoid. A butterfly is something some people try to capture. You let a caterpillar come crawling across our kitchen counter, my wife will yell as if she was attacked. Right? How many of you love insects in your home? That little crawly thing with all the hairy... Huh? Now, boys eat them, but girls skeeve them. But a butterfly, you let a butterfly come flying through the house, my wife says, oh, look at that, look how pretty, look how pretty. Right? A complete change. Paul says, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to change your mind. Are you with me? Even the name change is nice. Caterpillar, butterfly. Come on, say it with me. Caterpillar, butterfly. You're not playing along. Come on. Butterfly. I mean, even us manly men love looking at butterflies. I like butterflies flying around the garden rather than bees. Butterfly. A complete change. The idea of transformation is this. Listen carefully. God changes us from the inside out. Did you get that? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That occurs on the inside. Christianity is not behavior modification. Oh, don't miss that. Where's all the old-time Bible, Open Bible Baptist Church people? Where are you at? Come on, old-timers. Where are you at? Raise your hand. I don't mean old. Bob Fenton, get your hand up. You're an old-timer. Has nothing to do with age. You've been around long enough to remember when Christianity was nothing more than behavior modification. Come on now. Well, you don't like to play along with me this morning, do you? But that's what Preacher Riddell, we were good at that. We were trying to modify people's behavior. That's what preaching was. We're just trying to modify your behavior. We get you to do A, B, C, D, and E. But like I said last week, you know what happens when you get to E? You got to go back and motivate them to do A. But if you get somebody walking with God who has a transformed life, a renewed mind, you know what happens? They do A, B, C, D, and E.
Amen.
Yeah. And so Christianity is not behavior modification. Good grief, it's heart transformation. Yeah. Our hearts are transformed. And that makes all the difference. You know why I don't lie? Because I don't want to. I'm not afraid Preacher Riddell is going to find out and tell you he caught me lying again. He's always watching me. Every time I go into Dunkin' Donuts, I hear his voice. You going in again? You going in again? He does. Every time he calls me, though, he says, you at Wawa again? And I say, this guy is watching me. Where is he at? I look around. Where is he at? No, I don't cheat because I'm afraid I'm going to. I don't want to cheat. I don't cuss because... Now, there's sometimes I want to cuss. Come on, be honest. Huh? You ever hit your thumb with something that hurts? Frickety, frackety, frickety, frackety. You want to cuss, but you just don't. Why? Because I don't want to. I want to offend my Savior. And by the way, I don't want to listen to it neither. I don't want to see nudity. I don't want to see that. It doesn't appeal to me. Why? I have a transformed mind. I'm not going to allow that slop to come across my computer, TV set, or whatever. I turn it off. Why? Because he's made a difference in my changed life, metamorphosis. Look here, I wasn't always that way. No, not at all. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. See, it begins with a renewed mind. Our thought process changes. And that's another message in and of itself. We can't touch on that today. But the result of this change of mind is in these words. Look at it again. Here's the result. That ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So when you have a transformed mind, when you no longer conform to the world and your mind is transformed, now you are proving. You're proving what is good, acceptable. And I love this. It doesn't just say the will of God, does it? Does your Bible just say the will of God? The perfect will of God. And you know what that means? It means this, and I believe it this way. It may not be this way. When we get to heaven, we find out that I was wrong. Don't tell me. Just let me live believing this. I believe that God, when He creates for you and I His plan, His will, it's perfect. It fits you perfect. It fits you perfect. Huh? I was talking to Mr. Smith the other day about buying suits, and I wear a 40, but when you wear a 40 jacket, they give you a 34 waist pants. A 34 waist doesn't fit me. I'm a 28. At least in here I am. Now I'm a 32. So when I buy a suit, a 34 suit, a 40 suit, I got to take the pants and get the seamstress to take the pants into a 32. And sometimes it doesn't work. So you know what they have now? You go to some place now, they have suit separates. So you can buy a 40 jacket and a 32 waist pants. Isn't that awesome? Now I know I'm stealing from the 38 jacket, but I can care less. But when God makes a suit, it's perfect. It doesn't need to be altered. It's custom made, custom fitted just for you. Remember Boyd's of Philadelphia? Huh? That used to be a suit store in Center City when men's suits were men's suits. And you can go in there and get a custom made suit. Cost you $5,000, but boy, was it worth it. Only cost you $20 to get it fitted, but $5,000 for the suit. Custom made. And you can walk around broke, but look good. But that's God's will for our lives. It's perfect. I used to say to my teenagers, Isaac, when I was a youth pastor, I used to say this, fellas, God has got the perfect wife for you. It's perfect. Just wait on Him. Because you're going to select this girl here. She looks good, but she ain't got nothing upstairs. Huh? And girls, God's got this perfect guy for you. I know he looks like a hunk now, but one day he's going to look like a hunk of junk. Just wait on the Lord. How many of us ladies, how many of you ladies know it's true? You didn't know Mrs. Yanizzi was preaching this morning, did you? Yeah, just wait on God. His will for our lives is perfect. Hey, some of you are going to quit your job tomorrow. Wait on God. Don't go in there and tell your boss you can't stand him, you need a raise and you demand this. Wait on God. If God led you there, God's got everything you need there. Right? It'll all work out. Why? Because the will of God is perfect. Say that with me. It's perfect. So, as our minds change, our choices change, our lives change, our witness changes. You know what happens? Listen carefully. It impacts our whole life. At home, we're different at home. At work, wow, we're different. We're different. We're changed. In public, listen to this one. Pay attention right here. Online. Pastor, you got Facebook? Uh-uh. Why, you hate it? Not really. I just don't like to see what certain people that I know put on there. I get embarrassed for you. I can't believe you put your whole life out for everybody to see. Then you wonder why people criticize you. Huh? Oh, I'm not against it. Not at all. But I'll tell you right now, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see people with nudity in places they ought not be. Partnering with others they shouldn't partner with. You know what that tells me? There's a weakness in your fabric. There's something wrong with your Christianity. Huh? Oh, you can say amen right there. Amen. Why? See, look, when you get a transformed mind, it touches every aspect of your life. That's right. I'm not saying go quit your Facebook. No, just be careful on it. You don't have to put everything about your life on there, or Instagram, or whatever these platforms are. I don't have Instagram neither. You'll never find me on those things. I don't have time for that. No. I play that casino game, BetMGM. And... Hey, if I'm going online, I'm making money, man. Right, bro? Preacher Riddell taught me how to do this stuff. This guy that taught me this. Everybody okay? All right. See, Christianity is not merely joining a church, knowing some Bible facts. I think this, I'm finished. The greatest testimony to a watching world is not what we say on Sunday. It's how we live on Monday. That's our testimony, right? And we joke about some things, but the fact of the matter is, in our heart, we know what's right from what's wrong. And we want to do that which is right. Hey, we tried it my way. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now we turn to Christ and do it His way. Colossians 3, verse 23. I'm going to give you a handout here on the way out the door this morning. Little family time guide. On the bottom of it, I got five questions for you to consider that I think will really drive this home. But then a verse that I think you ought to try to memorize. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God for Him. Colossians 3, 23. It's important. So let me recap. Fellas, turn that slide, that recap slide up. Look at this and I'm done. Go ahead. Can you see that? I didn't think you were going to pay attention anyway, so that's why I made it so small. Here's what it says. More than a Sunday experience. You see that part, right? It starts with a relationship and not a religion. Right? It shows up in how we, listen to this, it shows up in how we treat other people. It shapes every ordinary moment. Ordinary moments. And then finally, it's lived from the inside out. Next week I'll make that bigger. It looks good on my iPad. Everyday Christianity. Knowing that you're saved is important. Living like you're saved is also important. Amen? Here's a question to ponder. How can I better reflect Christ in my everyday life? Think about that. How could I better reflect Christ in my everyday life? Let's take that to prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit to create in us a desire and then give us the ability to live the way you want us to live. May we make those decisions today. May we look for opportunities to live out Christ this week, to be Jesus to somebody, to practice our Christianity. God help us. Bless your people this morning. May good decisions be made based upon what we just heard. May we consider this everyday Christianity of our faith. And may we practice it well. For those who are here who may not be saved, we pray that they would consider today Christ, Jesus, on the cross, in the tomb, but now seated at the right hand of the Father because of His resurrection, making intercession, praying for them, and desiring for them to come to know eternal security, eternal salvation. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand together. I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we could How are we going to be a blessing to you? We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.